Hello and welcome to another episode of the PA Path Podcast. Before we get started, this episode is brought to you by the Southern Illinois University Medicine Online Doctor of Medical Science degree, now enrolling for 2025. Today we speak with PA Carrie Hall and Cody Halverson. Carrie is the program director and Cody is the admissions director for the Rocky Mountain College PA program in Billings, Montana. Carrie has been a practicing PA in family medicine, behavioral medicine, and PA education for over 15 years, and Cody brings 5 years of experience supporting the program's recruitment efforts. Well, Carrie and Cody, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. We'd like to get started by talking a little bit about your backgrounds. Carrie, the question for you is really, how did you end up becoming a PA? What was your path? And Cody, for you, how did you end up getting involved in PA education?
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're pretty excited to be on the PA Path podcast. I don't think it's really that unique story of how I became a PA, but I just knew from a very young age that I wanted to work in not necessarily healthcare, but a service industry that was going to help others or serve other people. I remember being pretty little and the story of Clara Barton was actually really inspiring to me. And I got a book and a doll and I was like, oh, this is pretty awesome. I think I would like to do something like she did. And so I was interested in healthcare from that. And then in high school, I did actually take the American Red Cross beginning training courses and did a little bit of like local disaster relief, which got me more interested in healthcare. And then I volunteered in hospice in high school. And that was a great experience. I learned a ton. I worked alongside one of the doctor's wives who I babysat for, who was really incremental in getting me into hospice and healthcare. And from there, I took CNA classes, became a CNA, worked as a CNA in the nursing home. And during college, so I was still working as a CNA, I knew I wanted to do healthcare. I just wasn't sure, should I do nursing? Should I do physician? I didn't really know what a PA was in college. So I grew up in a pretty rural area. Like a lot of Montana is rural, but from Hardin, Montana, which is very underserved, highly indigenous Native American population, rural rancher population as well. And we didn't have a lot of access to healthcare or a lot of other opportunities in that area. So seeing it firsthand, that also really inspired me to be like, I want to give back to communities like this. I would like to work in underserved rural areas. And so as a CNA in the nursing home, PAs were the ones coming in doing rounds. And so I got to talk with them and shadow them a little bit. And I was like, oh, what's this PA thing? I've not really heard of that. And then learned directly from them what a PA can do, how flexible the position can be. They can work in rural areas. They can work in surgery. And that sounded really amazing to me. And then Rocky Mountain College had a PA program. And I'm like, that's very convenient. Back then, we didn't apply to 10 different programs. It was you apply to the school that you hope to go to. And it was Rocky Mountain College. So I went here for undergrad, went here for PA school, loved it so much. I apparently came back to teach. And during PA school, I really did think I did really enjoy the program. We had great faculty, great community support from a lot of the hospitals and clinics, had really great rotations all in the area. And I really thought it would be really cool to come back and teach PA program at the end of my career, like when I'm retiring, is what I thought. And then after working in family practice for about 5 years, it was 60-hour workdays, and I was already working with the college. So I was precepting students. I would do a couple of guest lectures, and working with students was always just really fun. And so that kind of made me take the jump from clinical to teaching.
And Rocky Mountain is the only PA school in the state of Montana still, correct?
Yep, still, wow. That's the key word. But yep, it's from 1998, only PA school since 1998. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, how about you, Cody? How did you end up working at Rocky Mountain College and getting involved in PA admissions?
Yeah, so I was a first-generation college student from Roundup, Montana, another pretty rural, underserved community, as evidenced by the name. So I came to Rocky for undergrad, and my dad was always a volunteer EMT, so medicine was interesting to me. So I dove in, and I took all the prereqs. I was looking at med school or PA school. But the beauty about PA school is you have to get some patient care experience, right, before you apply to programs. And through that experience, I learned that maybe bedside was not the best place for me. But also throughout my undergrad experience, I gained an appreciation for medicine, but especially for the higher education experience. I worked in like our student activities office, and I really just fell in love with the college process. So right upon graduation, I started working as an admission counselor. I did that for about 4 years. And then this role opened up, and it was a great blend, right? Because I could tie my love for the college and the admissions process with some former interest in medicine and getting providers out into our communities.
So as a program that is residing and serving the population of a rural state, largely rural state like Montana, can you tell us a little bit about how your curriculum maybe is specific to the rural population and how you tie that need for access to care in rural areas and in Montana specifically into your curriculum?
Yeah, that's a great question because we are always looking for more ways to do that as well. But a big part of our curriculum is, so on clinical rotations, all of our students have to do a rotation in at least one rural rotation. That's the governmental healthcare, the HRSA definition of rural healthcare. So that in and of itself is a very good learning experience through that first year and then second year in rotations. But first year we have our module-based learning and we do our basic sciences. I believe most PA programs do our genetics and biostats and A&P before they delve into the module-based learning. But all throughout every module, we're incorporating that. So there'll be some days that, yes, we do a lot of PowerPoint, but we try to be as interactive as possible. And we're learning about nephrolithiasis or this kidney stone case. Okay, you're in Roundup, Montana by yourself. What do you got? What are you going to do? You have a UA. Maybe there's an MA there. You can do a urinalysis. And then what are you going to do? We use a lot of case-based scenarios for that to really drive home, yes, this is evidence-based medicine and this is what you need to do, but not every area in Montana and rural medicine is going to have access to a CT scan. Ultrasound, we're getting actually a lot better. We do have the good bedside ultrasound access now in rural Montana. A few years ago, we did not. So we do have an ultrasound, but we are always trying to back up our evidence-based medicine with, yes, and in rural Montana, these are your resources. These are who you need to call. This is what your next steps are going to do to keep that patient safe and getting them where they need to be. So I feel like it's day to day and throughout every module, we're trying to incorporate that. But I think the real part of it is where we do our case-based scenarios and we delve that home and put students in those positions. Like, okay, let's say you're working here. They're like, I want to call the cardiologist. There might not be a cardiologist for you to call. So who do you call? If you are in Roundup, Montana or Hardin, and then we say you call the major hospital system, their on-call service, and we will take them through that process. And you know, where I'm the on-call cardiologist and we have them present to us. We try to do a lot of real-world stuff like that in addition to the foundational curriculum of evidence-based medicine and our modular-based learning as well.
And then how does that translate then into the clinical phase? I assume a large part of your clinical rotation network is also in rural areas, so students get an opportunity to rotate in areas and get firsthand exposure to that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So in our mission of our program really is to serve the rural underserved areas with safe, competent providers. And so that's what we really do aim to do. 60% of our grads will take jobs where they rotate at in pretty much all of Montana, except for Billings. Although within Billings, there are underserved populations and underserved rotation sites that we send our students to. So yes, every student has to go to at least one rural, but we look at the reality of it. It's pretty much all students do at least half of their rotations or 50% in a rural, designated rural underserved area in Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas. We try to do this region because that's where we see the greatest healthcare need. And then again, 60% of our students end up taking jobs within this region too, and usually from past rotations. And so we are hoping that what we're doing with our didactic phase and putting them through these scenarios is that when they do go rotate and round up, they're like, oh, yes, Carrie told me about this. I know we don't have access to a CT scan, so we need to call Billings. But in the meantime, we can get a UA and we can do these things to get them prepped for sending them to the designated areas that we need to and do what we can do with what we have at the time. And really, our rotations, they're, I think I can brag a little bit about this. Our clinical sites are very supportive. They love the Rocky PA students. I feel like every month almost, we get a call saying, when's your class going to graduate? We have these openings. We need PAs in these areas. And we want to take Rocky students for rotations. So who do you have this year? So I feel like we're in a unique position. Not to say rotations are not difficult, because they are. I do think within every program and every layer of medical education, rotations are probably the most difficult thing. But I think we have really great support here and our students are really well prepared for the rural settings where they're going to rotate and where they're going to ultimately take jobs in as well.
Let me just ask a follow-up on that, which is, I presume then that part of your admissions process is really to assess somebody's readiness to be part of the rural healthcare team?
And Cody's our admissions director, so I'll let him speak a little bit about that.
Yes, as we all know, PA admissions are incredibly competitive. But when we're looking at applications, we rank both quantity and quality of patient care experience, right? When I'm advising students, I always tell them the general rule of thumb is any position in which you work alongside a PA frequently is going to be the best quality. But when we get applications, especially from our region, where they have experience in a critical access hospital or clinic where they're working alongside a PA, that is really good experience just because they really know what it looks like when we're going to be sending them out to those sites.
And we look at that too, like in our personal statements and when we do our interviews, like what's your drive for rural medicine? And we hope that when their answers, usually, oh yes, of course, I want to do underserved and rural because they're well researched, then they know that's our mission. But then we look to see that's backed up with their work experience, with their shadowing experience. And a lot of our applicants do come from rural underserved areas as well, which our data shows that not only rotations is a guide to a pipeline to where they get jobs, but also being from those areas themselves is also another statistic that we see that will tie them back to those rural communities.
Let's take a quick break for a word from this episode's supporter, the Southern Illinois University Medicine Online Doctor of Medical Science degree. Are you ready to move forward in your career? Enroll in an online Doctor of Medical Science degree with Southern Illinois University Medicine. In 1 year, you can refine your clinical and scholarly skills and become a better advocate and leader. You can earn 37 Category 1 CME credits for your coursework without leaving your job or family behind. Apply today. To learn more, visit the website at siumed.edu/DMSC and register for the virtual information session. Are there other things that you're looking for other than the work alongside a PA or the propensity to work back in a rural area? Are there other things that you think set applicants apart to be a strong candidate for the program?
Yeah, and we get that question a lot from applicants during interviews. And I'm like, gosh, that's always a hard question to answer because it's really hard to just say one thing. We have so many different students, even though we are a fairly small program, we do get a large amount of applicants, and our students generally come from all different types of backgrounds, different types of clinical experiences, and they really do really well within our program. Our graduation rate is higher than national average. It has consistently been higher than national average, and they really do really well with all different types of backgrounds and adversities, which I think speaks highly to the program. But everyone, I think, wants the whole package. Yes, you have the work experience, you have the life experience, you have great references, you have great GPAs. But that being said, that's not every applicant, and that doesn't always make a great PA. We really look at, I think, the things that I always go back to saying is work ethic and flexibility. Having a good work ethic, because again, medicine in general, we all need to have good work ethics. It's just not always that 9 to 5, in and out the door. It just isn't. And then being flexible, because again, in medicine, we all have to be flexible. Our schedule can change from day to day, even within the same hour, depending on which specialty, and it can be very unpredictable. So I've always said having a good work ethic and flexibility is very good attribute, I think, probably for any PA program and medicine in general. And then how do we look for that in applicants? That can be difficult as well. But usually it's our interview process or certain questions that we ask that will tease that out a little bit. And we look at their reference letters and things like that. But so, of course, it's like the whole package. But it's just really always hard for me to say one thing or this type of applicant or this type of clinical experience is what makes or breaks them, because it's just so different with students. It's hard to say one thing. But I do know that work ethic and flexibility, definitely, if students have those, they do really, really well, not only in the program, but in their careers as well.
It's been my observation in some of the interviews we've done with other programs similar to yours, like Idaho State University, the University of North Dakota, that you all attract a certain kind of student also that has a love for the outdoors. Montana is astounding in terms of the beauty there. And so I would imagine, is that the case, that you get a lot of students who are coming there for the curriculum, but also for the weekends and the holidays that they can bump up over to Glacier or something like that?
100%. Like this last year, my parents and I went on a hike the day before orientation, and I ran into 20 of our students on a group hike that hadn't even started classes yet. Yeah, we'll ask, why are you interested in Rocky Mountain College? And beyond their interest in rural and underserved communities, they've either vacationed in Yellowstone or they have family here that they like to go camping with, those kind of things. So that is a really nice benefit of our location, just because those students are able to get out on Saturday and let go of the stresses of PA school for a few hours and go on a really nice hike or float the rivers around Montana or those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it a Saturday in a few hours.
I have to believe the show Yellowstone really raised your profile as well.
Yeah.
I think our census went up directly because of that show. The last,
I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure it had nothing to do with removing the GRE.
Not that I know.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us why you decided to remove the GRE, because there are still programs that are keeping it. And I'd be curious for your process as a team to make that decision.
I was really excited because I have been spending 3 or 4 years looking into that requirement just as an indicator for our program. We know that there's data nationwide that shows it's not a strong indicator for success either in PA programs or on the pants. And our internal data perfectly reflected that. So when we were talking about different ways to make PA education more accessible for students, that's a pretty significant barrier. It's not cheap to take the GRE. And if you don't feel prepared, it's even more expensive to hire a tutor, those kind of things, pay for the preparation courses for that exam. So because it wasn't valuable for us in the admissions process, and it didn't show as a strong indicator for success either in the program, on either PACRAT or on the PANT, it made sense just to remove that barrier. Just because there are so many hoops that students have to jump through with PA education. And I can't remember exactly, but I attended the PAEA forum this last October. I want to say the average student spent somewhere around $2,000 a cycle applying to PA school, which is crazy. That's a lot of money for people, especially those who don't have familial support or other sources of funding for their PA education. So between that and removing the requirement to travel to Billings, we were really excited to make applying to Rocky a lot more accessible for students.
And travel is another big thing with the GRE, at least in Montana, while like our region, there's not a testing center every few miles or in every city or town. It may be Great Falls and Missoula, so they would also have to travel, and the cost of travel just to take the GRE.
Yeah, it sounds like we have similar conversations here in Arizona as you're having there, in the sense that we want to also reduce barriers to applicants' costs or getting into the PA school. But we also recognize with the beauty of our surrounding area and the beauty that you have up there, there's could be some benefits to having some sort of an in-person visit. Is there a way that students can plan it out for their budget on a flight, come out and see your team and see the institution?
Yeah, so I actually encourage that during every single interview, to have students come and visit. And honestly, we're a small school. Rocky's only about 1,000 students total. So I handle those individually with students. I always encourage them just to shoot me an email and I'd be happy to get it on my schedule so I can show them around our new space. I guess it's not brand new. We've been here for about 3.5 years, but show them the space and give them a little time to come visit Montana, because it really is a beautiful area to visit, as shown by all the tourists in the summer.
One of the things that I noticed when researching your program was that you do have quite an emphasis on patient safety and quality improvement. Can you talk a little bit about that inclusion in your curriculum and how that's integrated?
Yeah, we actually have a whole class basically titled that as well. And that course is really modules that are focused on patient safety, quality improvement. There's even a module on, well, before, this is how to prevent mistakes, doing a full history exam, going through the same process each time, so you're not forgetting important questions or forgetting important exam components based off the certain chief complaint. But then also after you make a mistake, you messed up in surgery, this is how you talk to patients about that. This is how you talk to family members about that. So that class encompasses all of that. But in addition to that class and the modules that they do, it goes back again to the very beginning. Like when we start with module-based learning and they're very first fall semester and didactic year. Yes, we're learning about the basics of medicine usually right away. But in addition to that, we're bringing in cases. Okay, yes, this is what the algorithm says. This is what evidence-based medicine is saying. But you have a patient here with these risk factors, with these allergies. Now what do you do? And so we're always trying to bring those real-world experiences with the limitations and the individualistic characteristics of certain patients. Not every patient is going to follow this algorithm. In fact, a lot of them don't. And then when they don't, then what are you going to do? And when you don't know what to do, who are you going to ask for help? Where are you going to ask for help? Because part of being a PA is knowing our limitations. And we really drill that into students as well. Like, none of us are ever going to know everything. It is okay to ask for help and admit when you are overwhelmed and you need help. And it's always good to know who to call in these situations. So again, we always try to bring those real world experiences in and really run them through those case studies. Okay, now this happened. Now what are you going to do? And get them critically thinking to where, yes, we want you to know the foundations, evidence-based medicine, know your didactic. But then when you really have a patient that's really sick in front of you, how are you going to get them the best care that you can, especially in a rural area, underserved, where you may not have a lot of those services or resources available to you?
So when you look at the outcomes of your classes, you've got a lot of grads, I presume, working all throughout Montana. Where do they end up? And when, how many go into primary care? How many go into rural, as defined, as you mentioned, et cetera?
Yeah, and it's an interesting trend, actually, over the past 10 years or so. We did used to have a lot more go into primary care and into rural, but PAs, like in Montana too, we tend to do what physicians are doing. Our trends also follow what the physicians do. And as we've seen physicians specialize more, go into primary care less, PAs in our area too have also done that less frequently. It's about 30% right now that do rural, and a little bit more than that, maybe like 35% that do primary care, which it was more like 40 and 50% when I first started. But we've seen that trend nationwide, and specifically with the physicians. And so as a program, and we have asked ourselves, are we really improving access to these areas, like our mission says? And so part of that is we have an online doctorate program now, which Cody can maybe talk a little bit about, which expands our education for our PAs where they're feeling more comfortable in those areas. And then also having really good support on our rotation, so our PAs do feel more prepared to go out into those areas. And recently, Montana also just passed the optimal team practice, which we hope will also alleviate that a little bit. Because if we don't have a supervising position in Roundup, Montana, it's a barrier for PAs to practice there. But now with 4 years experience, that's what our state law is saying. They have to have 4 years experience and then they can go on their own, which I feel is sufficient. You want to be well prepared, have a few years under your belt to go into some areas. And so we hope that's going to be very beneficial in helping these areas as well.
So some states have some incentives from the state level, so some state level funding to retain PAs in the workforce or other health professionals in the workforce. Does Montana have anything like that? Or do you have access to what everybody else does with like National Health Service Corps scholars and things like that?
Yeah, it's more than the National Health Service Scholarship, which our students actually almost every class, we have a few students that get that scholarship because they really are dedicated to rural. Their rotations are all going to be rural. So I think our program has pretty good success rate students getting those scholarships. But our state doesn't have any incentives. I think they've looked at that with tax incentive for even preceptors and PAs going into rural areas, but there's nothing that's been passed or anything yet. Category one CME for certain preceptors, we utilize that. And then category two, they can do for teaching as well. But otherwise, there's nothing else like that for Montana.
We got to work on that.
Yeah.
That sounds like that could help. Although I will say the statistics you shared, Carrie, are still much higher than the national average. So there's at least that, right? Because I think the last data I saw from the NCCPA was around 19% in primary care.
Yeah, it's right around 20. It's pretty low.
And then medical schools like that are connected to Montana, they're actually a lot less than ours too. Yeah, we're doing a decent job.
Before we close, we'd love to give you an opportunity to talk about the DMS that you were alluding to so that you get a chance to share what you're doing with your graduates and others.
Yeah, we launched the Doctorate of Medical Science about 3 years ago. It's 100% online, 100% asynchronous program for master's trained PAs. So these students are able to go through, complete it in a year and earn their doctorate. So what the doctorate does is it really, especially for people who are interested in that independent care option, it really helps build that gap with healthcare policy, health promotion, the business side of healthcare, helps bridge that gap between their clinical education and their master's program, and helps prepare them to go out and practice independently. It's also a great option for students who want to get into academia at some point, if they want to come back and teach. We've had a few really successful graduates already with some cool publications that we're really excited about. But the most important thing that I always like to talk about is the cost of it. because starting with the class of 24, our master's trained students are going to be able to take the doctorate free of charge. So they'll be able to get that doctorate tuition free as long as they join within 3 years after they graduate from the master's. We encourage them to get some experience under their belt, but they don't have to. As long as they meet the requirements, they're able to go through the program and earn that doctorate as well. So we're really excited to offer that added value to our master's program, especially because we do have so many students going out into these underserved and rural communities, just elevating that education that they receive and that they can bring to those communities.
That's a fantastic offering. And it gives your students a chance to focus on the main thing first and then come back when they feel ready. Those first few months in practice are pretty scary. But once they get settled in their practice setting, that still gives them ample time to get into the program.
Exactly. Yep. And it's good for seasoned PAs as well and PAs that have a lot of other experience. The online format is really easy to navigate and the schedule can be flexible based off their work schedule. So new and older grads are more grads.
Well, that's great. That's great. Listen, Carrie and Cody, we want to thank you both for joining us today. I think it's really great to get you on the program and highlight what's going on up in Montana for all of our listeners. And clearly, if you have an interest in going to a beautiful place in the country and you have a strong interest in serving rural communities, it sounds like a really great fit to go to your school.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
We want to thank our guests from Rocky Mountain College's PA program. As the only PA program in the great state of Montana, they have done an excellent job of providing PAs to serve the state's health workforce, and it certainly provides one of the most beautiful locations in America to study for the profession. We also want to extend a special thank you to the Southern Illinois University Medicine Online Doctor of Medical Science degree for their support of this podcast. Visit siumed.edu/DMSC to learn more and apply. Tune in next time as we speak with the leaders of our profession, both nationally and worldwide.